This is a recording of a message given to the church in the house, which meets at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Harry Hammond of Burwood, Stocks Lane, Blowfield, in the county of Norfolk, England. And the speaker is Edward L. Halston. Our subject is the work which Jeremiah saw and the words he heard when he went down to the potter's house in accordance with the Lord's instructions. And our scripture reading has been Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 17, where this visit is recorded. In the Companion Bible, a note on verse 2 points out that the interpretation of this passage belongs to Israel, as is plain from verse 6. So, house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. But that there are numerous applications of the principle involved which can be made to other matters. In addition to this note in the Companion Bible, the late Dr. E.W. Bullinger commented on these various applications in a pamphlet which presumably has been out of print for many years. I don't expect the good doctor would have liked to have had his name coupled with everything I may say, because he was a scholar, a very learned man, and I certainly am not. But I think it right and proper to say that it is to Dr. Bullinger's notes in this booklet that we are indebted all the outlines of what we hope will be, under the gracious guidance of the Holy Spirit, a series of profitable studies in the lessons to be learned from this incident in the potter's house. So we just read the first four verses of this chapter 18 of Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. The divine principle which emerges from those first four verses is that God never repairs what man has ruined, or mends what man has marred. He makes again another vessel as it pleaseth him. In other words, he always substitutes his own new provision. In this connection, we can recall straight away the coverings of fig leaves which Adam and Eve made for themselves, and contrast them with the coats of skins with which the Lord God subsequently clothed them. Skins from animals slain for that purpose, thus setting forth from the very beginning the principle that without shedding of blood is no remission of sin, no matter what the modern theologian may say. Those of us who have been saved by grace are deeply conscious that the final consummation of that first sacrifice was the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But before we consider any applications of the divine principle laid down in the action of the potter in making a new vessel, let us look at the interpretation of it as it applied to Israel according to the word of the Lord. And I think we might read now from verse 5 of Jeremiah 18. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, and to pull down, and to destroy, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good, wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. You just think of the awful rudeness, even blasphemy of that, as we should put it in our modern language. And they said, What a hope, we'll walk after our own devices. And so in verse 17, the Lord says, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. In the Bible record, we are given the history of Israel's failure and their disobedience, in spite of the pleadings, protests, and threatenings of the prophets sent by the Lord to turn them from their evil ways. Very much to the point is Isaiah 30, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 12. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, Because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. 11 times in Jeremiah's prophecy, the Lord is said to have risen up early and spoken to the nation, or sent his prophets to speak to them, but they would not listen. And so it is that on the very last scroll of the Hebrew Bible, there are those words of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. However, in his compassion and long-suffering, God provided a further opportunity for Israel's national repentance, and the Epistle to the Hebrews opens by saying, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The four New Testament Gospels are the record of the treatment Israel of that day meted out to him. And although his prayer from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, was graciously granted, and the Acts of the Apostles records the renewed appeal to the people to repent, only a remnant responded, and gradually the scene moved from Jerusalem to Antioch, and from thence to Rome, the capital of the Gentile world. In his missionary journeys, Paul, although he was the specially appointed apostle to the Gentiles, always went first to the Jewish synagogue in every place he visited. But invariably, he was hounded out, and the climax came when he arrived as a prisoner in Rome. There, he sent for the chief of the Jews, and spent the whole day expounding to them the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but they couldn't agree, and Paul finally pronounced the divine verdict originally given in Isaiah chapter 6 and repeated by the Lord during his earthly ministry concerning the blindness of Israel and their hardness of heart. Paul ended by telling the Jews the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. It's a matter of secular history that in AD 70, the Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem. Thousands of the people lost their lives, and the remainder were scattered far and wide, fulfilling the numerous Old Testament prophecies to that effect. On that last evening with his disciples, the Lord Jesus himself quoted Zechariah's prophecy, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." That, no doubt, had a particular reference to the desertion of the disciples that same night, but there was also the wider application, and we know that both James and Peter addressed their epistles to the Jews who were scattered abroad. And right up to the present time, the prophecy of Hosea has remained true. Shall we just look at Hosea chapter 3? Hosea immediately after Daniel. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. And I suppose those many days now, since that prophecy was written, is somewhere near 2,500 years. And so Israel as a nation has long been ruined, marred. But, thank God, that is not to be the end of the story, because the very next verse in Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, goes on to say, "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." And it is to this aspect of the great potter's work that we now turn our attention. In this our day and generation, we are privileged to witness the beginning of the return of the children of Israel, not only physically to part of the promised land, but also in a large measure they are once more seeking Jehovah their God, and their interest and study in their own Old Testament scriptures has increased tremendously. Some of our hearers may know of the missionary effort to Jews founded in 1893 by David Barron and Andrew Schonberger and known as the Hebrew Christian Testimony to Israel, a testimony which is still very much alive and active. For many years, their magazine was issued under the title of The Scattered Nation, but just recently it has been altered to The Returning Nation, in view of the signs of the times and the fact of the recognition of Israel as once more a member of the Committee of Nations. In view of all this, it is almost beyond belief that there should be, even amongst evangelical Bible teachers of some repute, those who profess to see no future whatever for the Jews as a nation, and who repudiate any idea of a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. All the blessings promised to the restored nation under David their king, in accordance with the prophecies of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and so on, are transferred to the church and are wholly spiritual, according to this modern teaching. It's a tragedy that this poisonous doctrine has crept into Bible colleges which were once looked upon as evangelically and scripturally sound, but alas, it is so. One of the subtle ways in which this false teaching is being spread is by the free distribution of a book of over 230 pages with the title of A New Heaven and a New Earth. The author's name is Archibald Hughes, and there is a foreword by the Reverend C.H. Nash, Principal Emeritus of the Melbourne Bible Institute, Australia. your speaker called at the London office of Marshall, Morgan and Scott and was freely given a presentation edition of this book. In it, one looks in vain for any reference to the question of the apostles to the risen Lord in Acts 1:6, "Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And don't let's forget that that question was asked after a 40-day session during which the risen Lord had been speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke 24, verses 44 and 45 tell us that he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he referred to what was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning himself. In Luke's record of the Passover Supper, chapter 22 of Luke, the Lord said to the 12 disciples, "I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The comment on this in the book we have mentioned is as follows. The whole promise must surely be interpreted not in a natural, but in a spiritual way. One doubts whether this comment would have found any favour or acceptance by the apostles to whom the promise was made. But let us leave all this deceitful spiritualizing by men who ought to know better and turn to the Word of God. "Thus saith the Lord God," and see what he has to say as to the future restoration of Israel as a nation, and the way in which he will make the clay which was marred into another vessel, to the praise and glory of his own holy name, and for his own good ends, and the purpose for which Israel were originally chosen. The references to a future gathering of Israel are so numerous that we shall only be able to quote a few. But we hope our hearers will join with us as we turn to some of these passages of Scripture. The original promise of the land to Abraham and his seed is well known, and as there has never yet been a complete occupation by Israel of all the area involved, then unless God breaks his word, there must still be a total fulfillment of that promise to come. When, at the first advent, the Messiah was born King of the Jews, the call to the nation was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The same requirement is one of the conditions for the future gathering of the people. If we just look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. You will remember that these were some of the last words of Moses to the nation before he died. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers." Coming to the prophets, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to follow these on in order for the sake of convenience and not too much turning of pages. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Chapter 43. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The next chapter, chapter 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And then on to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. Verse 41. I will accept you with your sweet savour, when I bring you out from the people, and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. Chapter 28, Ezekiel 28, verse 25. Ezekiel 28:25. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. And just finally, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. Ezekiel 34:11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Then, of course, there are the numerous references in the minor prophets. And not only are there all these and many other references to the gathering of the people of Israel into the promised land, but there are also many references to the physical and geographical changes which the Lord is to bring about in order to facilitate their return. As examples of this, we have Isaiah chapter 11 once more. Back to Isaiah chapter 11, and this time verses 15 and 16. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And then chapter 27, verse 12. Isaiah 27, verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Now the river referred to in both those verses are not, as might be supposed, the Nile, but it is the Euphrates, because to come from Assyria, you see, they would have to come from east to west, and the Nile being already on the west of Palestine, it can't possibly be the Nile. It's the river Euphrates. And this must have been what John saw in the prophetic vision given to him, because in Revelation chapter 16, Revelation 16 and verse 12, we read, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. In our series of studies in the prophecy of Zechariah, we saw from chapter 14 of that book, in conjunction with chapter 47 of Ezekiel, that the Lord is going to provide his own answer to the problem of the Suez Canal by making a new waterway from the Mediterranean Sea to the Dead Sea, and thence by the old bed of the River Jordan to the eastern fork of the Red Sea. The living waters which are to issue from Jerusalem to the western and eastern seas will, according to Ezekiel 47, heal the water of the Dead Sea, so that fish and other creature life will be able to live in the waters that are now so chemically constituted that nothing can survive in them. How great and glorious are the age purposes of our God, and what wonders he is yet to show on this earth in order to bring about the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, the patriarchs, David, and others of his chosen people. Let us believe what he has said in the scriptures of truth, rather than the sayings and writings of men who spiritualize all these miraculous events which are yet to take place. We feel the necessity to repeat the warning already given against this deceitful handling of the Word of God. One is almost driven to the conclusion that those who hold this teaching doubt the power of God to perform what he has repeatedly promised and said he will do. If he breaks his word concerning his own chosen earthly people, what assurance have these spiritualizers as to the certainty of their own salvation? In closing, we must briefly consider how and why the Lord is to make a new vessel for his use out of this marred nation of Israel in accordance with Jeremiah 18:6, and again we go to the scriptures to hear what he has said about it. First of all, the promise to Abraham that in his seed all the nations are to be blessed. In Galatians 3:16, Paul points out that this seed was Christ, and of course this is gloriously true. But there are many references to the seed in Genesis, and there are differing opinions as to which particular reference Paul was quoting. Nevertheless, it's a fact that many of these references in Genesis are in the plural, and other passages of Scripture show plainly that the nation as a whole are to be blessed and made a blessing. Once more, we turn back to Deuteronomy, this time chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. And now to Isaiah 59, verse 20. Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The next chapter, chapter 61. Chapter 61, verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. and verse 9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And the next chapter, verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Two passages in Ezekiel show how the Lord will do this. Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel 11. And verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And chapter 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Paul writes of this reconciliation and restoration in the dispensational section of his letter to Romans, which form chapters 9 to 11. Afraid we haven't time to refer to these, but I'm sure our hearers will know the wording of Romans 11, how that Israel are to be born again. And then right into the believing remnant of the Jews who were scattered throughout Asia. Peter told them in his first epistle in chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, it should be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That, of course, was written whilst the second coming of Christ was still a possibility, and will hold good in a day yet to come. When Israel and the restored nation come to their great day of atonement and look on him whom they pierced, Zechariah 12:10 says that the Lord will pour upon them the spirit of grace and of supplications. And in effect, this will be Israel's second time, the complete fulfillment of Joel's prophecy instead of the partial one at Pentecost. We believe that then will be the time that the Great Commission of Matthew 28 will be carried out to go and disciple all nations. It was addressed to the 11 disciples, but they never went to all nations, neither did they baptize in the triune name. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that the church at Jerusalem was scattered abroad throughout the land except the apostles. And all through the Acts period, baptism was in the name of Jesus Christ only. And so when we read in Matthew 28 and verse 20, the Lord said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That should read, of course, lo, I am with you always, even unto the gathering together of the age. In other words, that then current dispensation. You know, if you say that to some people, they think you're robbing them of something. But we're not robbed of any comfort, because those who are members of the church, which is his body, have Colossians 3, which says that ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What more could you want than that? If only those who would deprive the Jew of his promised blessings in his own land would look at the high calling which is available to them in the heavenlies with Christ, they might change their views. God is going to remake the nation of Israel. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Mould us and make us after thy will, while we are waiting, yielded and still.